Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, August 1st, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Today's show will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Infertility Journeys, Finding Your Happy Ending, with my guest, Leslie Vance, author and speaker. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners, whether you're listening live on the phone or you're over on the website in the chat room, or maybe you're listening to this show from our archives. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us because I realize you have many other things to do. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell others who can benefit, and they can come over to the archives at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown anytime they want and listen under on-demand episodes. Also, if you'd like to follow the show and get notice of each show in your email, under my photo right there on the show page, you can click follow and you'll get an email to let you know about each episode. Now, if you've always wanted to write a book, but you hesitated because you didn't know how to get started, I have something for you. And I know that many of you are in this category because you've told me. Some of you have disclosed that you've been writing pages and pages for months, some even years, but don't know how to get your book published. If this sounds like you, I want to encourage you to get my home study version workshop, How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, even if you're an ordinary person and hated high school English. That covers all of us, I think. I help you in that course go from choosing your title to getting your book written quickly and marketed effectively. Most important, I share with you ways to start earning money from your book even before it's finished. So download your copy of the home study version of the course from my website, www.abookin90days.com. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, to get at that goal, I interview guests from many different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it. We talk about many topics here, all of which, in my view, contribute to lasting happiness. Today's episode is Infertility Journeys, Finding Your Happy Ending, with my guest, Leslie Vance. Leslie is the author of the book by the title, same title as the episode. As a matter of fact, I named the episode for her book because it was already perfect, Infertility Journeys, Finding Your Happy Ending. When Leslie was diagnosed with infertility at the age of 37, the odds were against her. She sought the help of fertility specialists, but she still suffered from 3 failed pregnancies. During her journey, she wrote Infertility Journeys, Finding Your Happy Ending, to offer encouragement and hope to all people experiencing infertility. Leslie weaves her story and the stories of 17 other couples together with a wealth of information about the medical and psychological processes they experience. Most importantly, she shares how each couple found their happy ending. Leslie leads an infertility support group as a volunteer for Resolve, the National Infertility Association, and a contributing writer for San Diego Family Magazine. She also writes a blog about infertility on her website, leslievance.com. Leslie has a BA in communications and an MA in ecumenical theology. For over 15 years, she has worked as a public relations consultant for a wide range of clients in the areas of publishing, education, entertainment, healthcare, and high tech. Leslie resides in Encinitas, California, with her husband. Infertility Journeys is her second book. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show Leslie Dance. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Flora. Good morning. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
Well, thank you for making time to be here. This is a very hot topic I discovered as soon as I announced it over on Facebook. I got a number of people that commented about it. So I want to jump in right away. Yes. You were about to say?
Oh, I just said good. On Facebook, I have an Infertility Journeys page and have a lot of followers, and there's always great communication and conversation that takes place on Facebook. So I know there's a big community that's interested in the topic on there.
Right, right. Okay. Well, let's start at the beginning, and that is, what is infertility? What does that mean? Because those of us who aren't that familiar with it probably have all kind of mixed definitions in our heads. So straighten us out. What does fertility mean, infertility mean?
Right. Well, I definitely didn't understand what it meant before it happened to me, had never heard the word. So basically, in a nutshell, infertility is defined as not being able to get pregnant despite the fact that you're actually having frequent unprotected sex for at least a year. Mm. And so 10 to 15% of couples in the United States struggle with infertility. And basically that kind of, when you do the math, it's basically 1 in 8 couples. So it's not the majority, but it definitely affects 1 in 8 couples, and, you know, it's devastating when it happens to you.
And so the year is an important factor, so this has to be a year's period of time. And I assume that it also is more relevant if the couple is actually trying to get pregnant and are able to do so within that year.
Definitely.
That's their goal.
Right, that would be their goal, because they're wanting to build their family. You know, most couples, they say, okay, after a few years or however many, you know, period of time, they're like, let's start our family, let's have a few children. And so they start that process, and you automatically think you're going to have the kids and it's going to happen, it's easy, what's the problem, everybody else does it, it's normal, the bodily functions. But then when it doesn't happen, that's when the problem arises. And if you're over the age of 35, that's when, you know, at the age of 35, that's when your infertility happens. I mean, that's when your infertility, chances of having infertility increases, whether you're a male or a female. It happens to both. Yeah. So one thing I wanted to tell, because when I first was struggling with infertility, I just thought, oh, well, there's something wrong with me, you know. And I think a lot of women think that. It's like, what did I do wrong? What's happening? You know, it's all because of me. But actually, when you look at the statistics and all the research, it's a third of the cases of infertility are caused by male infertility. A third of the cases of infertility are due to both male and female infertility problems. And then the remaining one-third of the cases is due to a female infertility problem. So so that was interesting. It's kind of a 50-50 thing. So it's not always the woman's problem. It's not always the man's problem. But with some of the causes, like male infertility causes, you can have abnormal sperm production or function. I don't know if you've heard of sperm motility, but, you know, there's all these tests that they test on the sperm. There's, you know, to see how fast they swim, to see if they can penetrate the egg, to see about the shape, the morphology of the sperm. So there's all these sperm analysis tests. I know, it's pretty interesting when you get into it. And I talk about that in the book, Infertility Journeys, and explain it. I even have a chapter specifically for men. It's chapter 5 called For Men Only, because so many times they are left standing on the sidelines, you know, during pelvic exams. But there's a lot of information in the book that's specifically for them. And my husband also shares his story in the book and his experiences.
So you shared that 1 out of 8 couples are affected. Typically, are these, is this statistic based on people who are seeking help with infertility? Because I'm thinking with any statistic, you have the people that you know about, and then you have the ones that you don't know about, because they would have to have come forward in some kind of study, or how did they determine who's being affected by it?
Well, basically, it's research that's all the doctors, whether the OBGYN doctors, the family doctors, they all report information on, you know, patients when it comes to whether or not they're referring patients to infertility specialists, or actually fertility specialists, I should say. So it's 10 to 15% of couples in the United States are infertile. That's based on the number of couples, you know, who are trying to conceive in the U.S. from year to year. Because for the most part, when they do start having problems, most doctors will say, okay, you've been trying for a year, let's go see a fertility specialist and let's start doing some tests. Some other problems, you know, that can cause infertility is just lifestyle issues like poor nutrition or obesity, alcohol, you know, tobacco and drugs. Those are kind of obvious factors, but that really can affect the male infertility and the female infertility. And then for women, some of the causes of infertility is fallopian tube damage. That was my problem. My first two pregnancies, the fetus got lodged in, or the embryo got lodged in my fallopian tube. So that was a problem for me. But then some women struggle with endometriosis, ovulation disorders, you know, hormone imbalances, early menopause. I mean, it's, you know, so many different factors that, that can cause infertility. In women and men.
And I would imagine that you don't even, you aren't aware of these things, these imbalances going on until you encounter infertility. Because if you knew about it, you perhaps could do something about it if there is something you can do in advance. Are there people who are able then to, in the process, I want to move on to coping with infertility. Are there people who are able to make small changes that solve their problem, or do the majority of people in this group, you know, need doctor's help and medical assistance?
I don't know what the breakdown is on once they go to the fertility specialist, how many actually then go and see, but there is a website, SART.org, and that will give you information on the fertility specialists and their offices and what their statistics are on how helpful they are to couples and how many live births that they can do and things like that. But basically I think when people are 34 or older, that's when they're always referred to a fertility specialist, because the older you get, you know, most family physicians and OBGYNs, they know that that's when you might start having problems. And if there is a problem, then you should definitely see a fertility specialist. So your options with a fertility specialist, some of them are more holistic and are very holistic, and they encourage you to do acupuncture or look at your nutrition, meditation, you know, fertility massage. There's actually a thing called fertility massage, which I never knew, you know, until several years ago, where they actually massage your abdomen and they get the uterus balanced if it's out of balance. And things like that. So some fertility specialists, they're really big about the, you know, approaching it from a holistic standpoint. It really depends on the age, because say if a woman is 41 years old, well, then they might want to be more aggressive and say, okay, instead of trying 6 months worth of holistic approaches, let's just jump straight in and do IVF or do some IUI cycle. So it really depends on the age of the patient, I think, as to what approach they're going to take, and it depends on their particular situation, because it is so specific to that person, because no two people are the same when it comes to what's wrong with them.
Right. You mentioned, would you repeat the organization that you mentioned that we can access online to get more information? Would you say the acronym again?
Yeah, it's SART. S as in Sam, A as in Apple, R as in Richard, T as in Tom, dot org.
Okay. All right, great. I just want to make sure we got that.
Sure.
Now, you have quite a bit of experience on a personal level and also as a an advocate and an organizer and involvement with other women in your support group. How do women and you cope with infertility? What I mean, we've talked about some of the treatments that doctors recommend depending on your age, but how do you cope with it on a personal level?
Well, I think it's most important for men and women to find a support group, and that's why I started the North County Infertility Support Group here in San Diego, because there wasn't anything available. And just having a support group of peers that are going through the same experience, it really validates what your experience, and you can share, you know, whatever treatment you're going through or how you felt when you had the miscarriage or, you know, what happened when you had the ectopic pregnancy. And you can really get, you know, raw with your feelings. And everybody, I mean, we always end up crying in the meetings or, you know, because, or laughing because there's just so much, you know, that you want to share, and it's so emotional. And then the men that come to the meeting, you know, they really open up and share too, because it affects them. You know, they want to have children, and they see their wife struggling with all this, you know, medical procedures, and they feel helpless, really, and they want to fix the problem, but, you know, they can't because they're just standing there, and, I mean, there's nothing for them to do, and you feel very helpless when you struggle with infertility. And so I think having the support group is good for just, you know, having the shared experience and talking about it. And then also seeking psychological help through a counselor, a professional counselor. And that's very helpful. And then I always talk about the three T's. You know, it just takes time, tears, and talking. So, of course, talking, the support group. Tears, it's really good to just let out the emotions and, you know, have a good cry when you need to. And then time, it's really a process. I started struggling with it when I was 37, and it's been a seven-year-long process, and you go through a lot of grief and the loss when you do get pregnant and then it doesn't work out, and you have all these expectations and hopes and dreams, and then they're failed expectations. So it's a process of saying, okay, what do I do now? You know, if I can't have children, or if we're not going to adopt, or if you're not going to use surrogacy, which are other options for trying to build your family, you know, what are you going to do next? It's like, what's the next choice to make? So it's very difficult to decide what are we going to do next, you know, and I talk about that in chapter 8 and talk about all the different couples and all their different ways that they decided that was going to be their happy ending. Some of them chose to use a surrogacy. Some of them chose to adopt. Some people chose to live child-free and just give up on doing fertility treatments because they'd already spent $75,000 and they decided, okay, we can, you know, focus on other goals in life. So that's one thing, too, that I encourage people is take time to make the decision, because you don't want to just jump into a decision really quickly because you're emotional and upset. You really need to process your feelings and know that whatever decision you make is the right one for you, because there are a lot of options out there.
That's wonderful. Then, you know, I was going to point out the importance of the support group. Because I can remember, as I'm a baby boomer, or I was born just in time, barely, to be a baby boomer. And in my day, there were so doggone many secrets about things like this, about what's going on, especially things that had to do with relationships, marriage, childbirth, you know, all these things. So many secrets. People did not want to share what was happening. They didn't want to disclose because there was a lot of, you know, culture had a lot of shame and blame around these things. So I'm so happy that we have evolved to the point where we can talk about it, because just coming out and meeting other people who are having the same problem, it's not an instant solution, but it is a big relief, I would think, to find other people and to share experiences, you know, what did you do? How did you respond? And then we realize that it's not just us. And I would think that's a big relief. And having a place where you can cry and be raw about it and not worry about appearances and answering crazy questions from people who don't understand what's going on, it's got to be wonderful. So I commend you for starting that group. I'm sure the people in the group are very thankful as well. I want to talk about infertility as being not just a woman's problem, because you mentioned early on that in most cases it has to do with the sperm. So what? How does the, and yet I think in society we assume that there's something wrong with the woman, and so do we as women assume that. So
definitely,
how does that play into being more than a woman's problem?
Right. Well, male infertility, like if you went in and just Google male infertility, today there's a lot more information that pops up, and there's a lot more research and really good articles that explains it. There's even blogs, you know, about male infertility. But mm-hmm. just some of the causes, again, I talked about the sperm production and the function, that there can be problems there. There can be problems with the delivery of the sperm due to, mm-hmm. you know, sexual problems. Like some men actually don't ejaculate. And then from health issues, like if there's any kind of genetic diseases or cystic fibrosis or structural problems in the tubes or blockage, you know, in part of the testicle, where the sperm is contained, that, you know, any kind of problem or blockage, that can, you know, prevent delivery of the sperm. And then I think I also mentioned the general health issues, just if the man has poor nutrition or if he's obese or if he's used a lot of alcohol, tobacco, drugs, that can affect the quality. Definitely when he is over the age of 35, the sperm quality, there's more and more studies now with the sperm quality. They used to think that sperm quality never went down, that, oh, just mm-hmm. until they're 80 years old, they can, you know, knock a woman up. But really it's not true. Sperm yeah. quality also decreases with age, just as the egg quality decreases with age for the woman. Mm-hmm. Also, say if a man has been overexposed to environmental factors like really bad pesticides or other chemicals, mm-hmm. that can, yeah. you know, damage the sperm. Or overexposure to heat. A lot of doctors will say, don't get in a sauna, don't get in a hot tub, don't wear, you know, the tight underwear, wear mm-hmm. boxer briefs and things like that, because your core body temperature is affected, you know, by those things. And then I guess other things I've researched and read about and written about is if there's any damage related to cancer, if someone's gone through cancer treatment. Mm-hmm. The radiation and the chemotherapy treatment for cancer can impair sperm production, and sometimes that can really be severely. So that's another factor. And then, like I said, men older than 40 may be less infertile than the younger men because as they age, their sperm quality goes down too. So those mm-hmm. are the main causes of male infertility. And these days, it's you know, it's like I've been going through this for 7 years. So,
yes.
So when I first started going through it, I remember the first fertility doctor we saw didn't even say anything about testing my husband or doing any tests with him. And I think it was the second doctor we saw finally said, okay, let's do some sperm analysis and let's do some tests. Mm-hmm. And then they also sent us to a urologist for my husband to be completely checked out. So mm-hmm. so more and more doctors, I mean, statistically, they have to look at both the man and the woman because, like I said, it's a third of the time it's a male issue, a third of the time a female issue, and a third of the time it's a combined male-female issue. So it really takes two to tango.
Wow, it does. Well,
so women don't have to feel so bad anymore.
That's good. We always suspected that, but now it's been verified. It's good to know. Now, I would guess that a lot of people have much to say about the part that God and the higher power plays in all this. So what part does faith and belief in God and all of this play in this whole infertility issue?
Well, I can only give you my opinion, right?
Okay, that's what I want.
Yeah, and I am a theologian, so I'm always happy to share my opinion about God. And I've been a believer in God my entire life. And I know here in Southern California, I learned to call God, you know, the higher power or your highest self, you know, depending on who you're talking to, because we have a mix of, you know, different faith experiences out here. But anyway, when it comes to God, when I was interviewing all the couples, I found it interesting that I didn't even bring up God. But oftentimes mm-hmm. they would bring up God, and they would say things like, I just don't understand why God took my baby. I just don't understand why God is doing this to me. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you're interviewing people for a book and you're wanting to get their experience and put it in your book, I couldn't really give them, I couldn't pastor them or give them advice when it comes to their theological views on God and God's role. But for me personally, I do talk about, you know, at first I was wondering, okay, God, where are you in this equation? It's like I've been praying, I've lived a healthy life. It's like, why is this not happening? Why can't I be blessed like Sarah, you know, in the mm-hmm. Old Testament? She was right. of old age, and she got pregnant, so what's the deal? So I had those questions, and I was frustrated for a really long time, not understanding, you know, why God wasn't blessing me with a child. And through my process and just prayer and thinking through it, I finally decided or realized for me that, you know, when it comes to, well, I think it was part of coming to terms with the fact that infertility is a medical condition. Some people even call it a disease. And infertility is a medical condition, just like if you were to get cancer, or if you, like I'm not, my eyesight, I have to wear contacts. So my eyesight's not perfect. And my reproductive system is not perfect. So I kind of liken it to the fact that it's a medical condition. It has to do with my biological function, just like my eyes aren't perfect, I have to wear contacts. And my reproductive system isn't perfect. There's some problems there. So, and really, to me, it's not about God doing this to me. Like, I don't think God took my first three babies. I don't blame God for that because I know I have a medical condition. I know I have some limitations. And so I look to God for prayer and for peace and to ask God, okay, what can I learn from this situation? And where's opportunity for personal growth for me in this situation? Because, you know, there's one thing that we're not guaranteed an easy life. You know, we're definitely, there's going to be strife. There's going to be pain. There's going to be obstacles that come our way. But I think God can play a big role in giving us peace. And then I know for me, I felt like God blessed me with some wonderful friends that helped me cope and get through it, and people that would listen to me and bless me with a wonderful husband to support me. And so that's I feel like God's part is in giving us guidance, giving us peace to cope with the struggles, no matter what the struggle is.
I like your take about the lesson. You know, what lesson, what does this mean for my life? What lesson do I get from this? And one thing I can see that has happened in your life is because this has happened to you, you have become such a wonderful support for other women. Had this not happened to you, then those women would have missed the guidance and support that you have created and structured. And that's a tremendous function and purpose that you've been called to do, and it can't be taken lightly. It's a tremendous thing. So you've played an important part to help other women, and the fact that you are also a theologian, you know, helps to make it, I think, even better. And it's not something you would have signed up for or wanted for yourself, but now that you find yourself in that situation, you have made such a good use of it to help others, and that's, to me, a very important thing.
Well, that's what I just felt like. I've got to find some good in this, you know, because it was such a difficult journey, and I didn't want everything to be negative. And I'm typically a happy-go-lucky type, you know, positive person, so, but it's, I just know how difficult it is, and I know that when I was going through it, I couldn't find a good book out there on the market. There were books that were written by doctors that, you know, had the medical jargon, but that wasn't fun to read. And then there are books written by one person that it was just their memoir, and that I couldn't relate to. So that's why I wrote the book, is to offer 18 stories from 18 different couples and all their various experiences and how they found a happy ending, because you can find a happy ending. I mean, there's options, there's choices. And even if you choose to live child-free, that can be a happy ending. But it's a process to get there. You know, it takes time to process and figure it out.
Sorry to interrupt you. Tell us how to get your book, because we have about a minute and a half left. Tell us.
Okay. You can order it on Amazon.com. Just go to Amazon and type in Infertility Journeys, or type in my name and my page will come up. Or you can go to my website, LeslieVance.com. It's L-E-S-L-E-Y, Vance.com, or InfertilityJourneys.com. So any of those three places you can get it.
And those people who are interested in your support group, it's located in northern San Diego, correct?
Right, yeah, San Diego County in Encinitas. Okay. And so information about that is on my website, infertilityjourneys.com or LeslieVance.com.
Wow, thank you. This is so wonderful. I appreciate you coming on. We're going to run out of time if I don't wind down. So I want to thank you, Leslie, for being my guest. I want to thank listeners for tuning in, those of you in the chat room, those of you on the line. And don't forget, if you're ready to write your book, don't delay. and any longer, because you can see Leslie made a good use of her life experience to write her book, and you may choose to do the same thing. So go over to abookin90days.com. I invite you to join me again next Monday, August 8th, 2011, here at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to have another great show for you. In the meantime, have a blessed week, and remember to color your life happy.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.